Today's Mishnah and Masechet Zavit, brought to you from Yerushalayim Yir HaKodesh, is Perek Beit, Mishnah Aleph. Hakol mitam'im b'ziva, af hagirim, af ha'avadim, bein meshuchrarim, bein she'inan meshuchrarim. The din of zivais is true about anybody, even though it says daber al b'nei Yisrael, you should not make the mistake of thinking that this means dafka, someone who was born as B'nai Yisrael. It's anyone who is even an Eved Yisrael is considered to be, even if it's not Meshuchrar, it's an Eved She'enu Meshuchrar, but nonetheless Chayev B'mitzvahs like Yisrael is included in this din. Cheresh, Shota, the katan. It doesn't matter whether you have das or you don't have das. You might have thought that only somebody who's mechuyev in the mitzvah of zivas, and therefore he requires das to be mechuyev. No, this is also a din in tuma, and therefore it has to do with the facts, not with your das. And as we mentioned earlier, afilu tinak ben yoimai is mitame bezivais, and that's because we often have various hormones that are absorbed from a mother by an infant that causes these types of problems with either males or females. And this would be true whether the person is sterile or fertile. So even if he's a Sri Saddam means that he was castrated, and he was born normally. So you might think that having some type of procedure that affect the genitals would take away the dinim of zivas. It does not. And it doesn't matter whether he's a sris chama, whether he's even born sterile. And you'd say, so if he's born sterile, we don't have to worry about the tumas that are associated with reproductive mechanisms. We do. Because again, this is not an issue of sterility and fertility. It is a actual body fluid that is not necessarily has anything to do with sterility. Now, the question would occur, being as we saw that there are such tremendous differences between the sexes about zivais, what if we don't know your sex? What if someone is either a tumtum or an androgynous? So in a tumtum, we haven't identified the sex. In androgynous, we have also, we've got both sexes, signs are apparent, but we don't know what the din is. So then, notnim aleihem chumrei ha'ish v'chumrei ha'isha. We have to treat them both as male and as female, which leads to a lot of complications. So let's say if they have a bloody discharge, we have to treat them like a woman because they might be a woman, and therefore it might be zivais. If they have some type of white fluid, they might be males, and this might be prostate fluid, and therefore they would be metame beloven ke'ish, but we don't know. It's only going to be a suffix, right? And therefore, if it's a suffix, we won't burn truma, and so on and so forth, but lemaisa, we will have to be metame. The actual discharge is definitely... we're going to have to be machmer on them. So if they had both maras, of course, they could become tamei vadai. But if they only have one mara, they're a suffix. Mishnah Beit. Shiv'a drachim botkim et hazav. Now we get to another issue that we haven't discussed yet. That is that there's another big difference between male and female, between zavim and zavot. If there's any type of stimulus that's possibly involved as a causal factor of zivais in a male, then it's not considered to be zivais. Even though the material is zivais, but it's not zav mi bisaro. Zav mi bisaro means there's no outside reason that would explain why this is happening. It's just part of the way his body is responding with these discharge to its own internal mechanisms. But if we can trace a reason for this to happen, then it's not considered to be zivais because it's not zav mi bisaro. Masha'enkein, by a female, that makes absolutely no difference whether there was some type of external stimulus. The truth is, even a hormonal stimulus is still, if it is involved in a re'iyah of zivais, is going to be mitame bezivais. So, in order to make sure that we're talking about zivais, we have to first check and see whether one of these stimuli were there, but this is only if the person had not already been established as having been roya zivais. If he was tame, and then he has one of these re'iyas because of a stimulus, it's going to be soyser hashivas nekiyin. It is going to be added to the number of maras. It's only ad shalom nizkak leziva. Before this person had become a zov on any level, we've got to check him out. So, truth is, we will check for all of the maras if it's nogeya, a korban. But we won't check the first mara, which anyway is only going to be tame as a valkari, so it won't make any difference. All right, but we'll see the details as we go. What are the seven things that we need to look at? Well, we need to look at what he's been eating, the ma'achal. I mean, there are foods that can actually cause such discharges. So if he's been eating a lot of eggs, fat meat, milk, cheeses, as the Gemara says elsewhere, that's the first thing we check. Mishta, if he's been drinking a lot of heavy, old, aged wines, alcohol, or just if he's overdoing the drinking, even if it's not this quality old wine, we look into masa. If this person was carrying very heavy loads, then he might have simply, because of the muscle that he needed to put into it, he may have pressed on his prostate without realizing it, and because of that, he had this discharge, but it's not zov mi besoro. Or he might have been jumping in the gym. Jumping could cause the same kind of thing. He might be sick. And if he's sick, then he has some kind of inflammation. So that if his body is inflamed, he could also have this kind of discharge. And he might have gotten turned on. Maybe he saw some beautiful woman walking by, b'mar el. So if there was a sexual stimulus, or might be a healer, even if it wasn't something that he saw, but it was a sexual stimulus because of his own thinking about it, it could be either. He didn't realize when he saw this gorgeous girl walk by that it had done anything to him, but maybe it did. Or Behirer, he knew that he had been thinking about something sexy and he hadn't seen anything. Either one, these are separate things. So if he was here without being Roya, or he was Roya, actually here, it doesn't matter. Because sexual stimulus could be subconscious, or it could be conscious. So because of that, we got to check out these seven things. Rabbi Yehuda says it doesn't even have to be that type of sexual stimulus. What we're talking about over here is something that is deeply subconscious. And therefore, even if he was in a zoo and animals were mating, which he didn't feel the least bit turned on by, but the fact is that in terms of his subconscious and its relationship to filu rob ema chayav of mitaskim zeimze, that would be enough. Or you know what? I don't know. Maybe he saw these gorgeous panties hanging on a line. I mean, maybe he's got some type of fetish. But the point is, he may not even be aware of that. So afilu ra'a bigdei tseva isha would be enough to possibly turn him on, and that would be enough for us to cancel out the tumah of the zivais. So again, this is not to confuse zivais with keri. But that doesn't mean that something sexual can't be a stimulus to zivas. It's got nothing to do with whether it's a direct cause. That's not the point. Rabbi Akiva, amen? Afilu achal kol ma'achal. Look, it's not true. He doesn't have to overeat. He doesn't have to eat these types of very rich kind of foods. If he has eaten, it doesn't matter if it's quality or not quality. Ben ra, ben yafeh. If he's eaten in the past 24 hours, and all of these things are 24-hour things. if within the past 24 hours he had any of these things happening, including the mara or the hirhur or the food or the drink. So Rabbi Akiva says, even if he's eaten anything in the past 24 hours or he's had anything to drink, it wouldn't matter. He would have had to be basically not eating at all in order for the zivas to be zivas. So they said to Rabbi Akiva, I mean, if you're right, then you can forget about the din of zivas. Nobody's going to be a zav. Ain kan zavim miata. So what's the point? So he said, Amarlan, gentlemen, that's not your problem. You are not responsible for making sure that there is zivas in this world. And I'm ready to give you a written statement that absolves you of all responsibility, and therefore you can go along with my psak. Yikes, nothing is going to happen. It's a very sweet mimer. Ein achrayut zavim alechem. You're not responsible to see to it that there will be zavim if you don't like my psak. Now, all of this is true, as we said, kozman shelo nizkak leziva. A person has not become, on some level, he's not become a zav. But once he did, mishen nizkak leziva. Now, once he became a zav, and that means that he's not a balkari, he's mamish a zav. So it means that he had two re'iyas, and they weren't caused by anything else. So then, ein bodkinoto, it doesn't matter. Even if we know that it was an ones, we had a third re'iya, and sveiko v'shichvazaro. Now, sveiko v'shichvazaro is a misleading term, which is explained actually in the Gemara as meaning the sveiko of shichvas zaro, meaning that if we have a suffix about whether we have a re'iyah of zav because of the fact that he had ejaculated within the past 24 hours. Now, we haven't discussed that yet, but we're going to see that very soon, that ejaculation also cancels zivas for the next 24 hours. Why isn't it mentioned as a separate bedikah? It says that we check it out. So why didn't we ask him whether he had ejaculated in the past 24 hours? So that's because he is considered to be the equivalent of a chole. So when we're talking about whether he has anything that could have physically led him to be more weak in his ability to control these discharges, one of those things included is his own ejaculation. So therefore, if we have afterwards, we're not even sure whether we know that he definitely had ejaculated before being re'ya, this third re'ya, even then he would still be tamei. Sheraglayim ladavar, because we've got legs to stand on, so to speak. That's the use of the word raglayim ladavar, meaning that it's very reasonable that since he's already a zav, that means that this was coming because he was a zav. Now, this is also misleading, because the truth is that the din about the re'iyas and the zav mi besoro is based on a pasuk. It's not based on reasonability. But since we have a raya from hazav et zovo, so the Gemara brings a raya that since it says hazav et zovo la zachav l'nekeva, it means that the third re'iyah is similar to a nekeva. And what does that mean? That just like a nekeva, there's no din of ones, so too the third re'iyah, there's no din of ones. So therefore, it's a pasuk. It has nothing to do with this business of raglayim ladover. So raglayim ladover actually only means to say that if the pasuk didn't say clearly what we're talking about, we're the ones who say that the pasuk is referring dafka to the third re'iyah, which is azav et zavo kazachar nekeva. So when we're saying raglayim ladover, what we really mean is raglayim ladover, that this is the way to understand the pasuk, that it's talking about the third re'iyah. Because once he's already established himself as a zav without any type of ones, he becomes the equivalent of a female in the sense that it doesn't matter whether there was any external stimulus. Okay. Now, Let's talk about precisely where we look into these Shiva Dvarim. So he sees his first Re'iya. Ra'ah Re'iya Rishona. Bodkinoto. To find out if there was something that caused this, it will not be viewed as his first Re'iya of Zivas to be Mechayev him a korban. It's very important to understand the subtleties of what the Mishnah is trying to say. It's not as if the first Re'iya that is caused by a stimulus, which anyway only has a din of a Re'iyas Keri, it's not going to be Metame Mishkav u'Moshav, and it's not going to be Metame retroactively. So in what sense are we bodek it? We're bodek it only in terms of the third Re'iya. We want to know whether ultimately will we be able to establish a Zav Gadol who's going to be mechuyev to bring a carbon on the basis of this first Re'iya. But as far as the local effect of this first Re'iya, what is the local effect? A, is the first Re'iya Tomei like Keri? Yes. Even if it was caused by jumping up and down or whatever? Yes. Is this first Re'iya going to be Mitztaref with a second Re'iya, which is not caused by something else? Will it be Mitztaref to make him Tomei for Shivas Yomim or to make him Tomei Mishkav u'Moshav? Yes, it will. So we're only looking at it to see whether it's going to be Mitztaref later. Bishniya, furthermore, he now has a second Re'iya. We're also being bodek him, because if the second one was caused by something else, then it's not Zivas at all. So then Bishniya bodkim otzo. If it wasn't because of some kind of stimulus, so then it makes him a Zav, and it's Mitztaref with the first Re'iya, even if the first Re'iya was caused by something else. So again, we have a special din of that first Re'iya, and that's because of the fact that the Torah compares that first Re'iya to Shikvas Zera, as we already saw. And this is the way that Beis Hillel learns the entire sugya. So a first Re'iya of Zivas is not really entirely in the parsha of Zivas. It's Zivas in terms of its ability to be mitztaref to Zivas, but it itself is definitely going to be a Tameh, and it can even be mitztaref to the din of Tuma, not to the din of Karba. So then we will check him the second time, because the second time, if it was caused by this stimulus, so then he's not Azov at all. It's not that he became Azov through the second Re'iya. And certainly it will not be mitztaref to the third Re'iya. But once there was actually a real Re'iya, and it wasn't caused by anything else, then even if the first Re'iya was caused by something else, the second Re'iya is Mitztaref to make him Tomei Mishkav u'Moshav and Tomei for Shivas Yomim, and he needs to be in a Ma'ayan in order to become Tomei. He can't just go to a mikveh. And if then he has a third Re'iya, the third Re'iya is now going to be Mitztaref to be Mechayev him a Korban, and the third Re'iya we won't even check him, because, as we said, it doesn't make a difference. Once he was Niskak Letuma with the second Re'iya, anything after that we learn from the Pasuk, Lazacharol Nekeva, Hazaved Zovo, is considered to be Tamei, even if we know for a fact that something caused it to happen. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, that is wrong. Af b'shlishit bodkinoto. Mipnei ha-korban. It's true that a third Re'iya, so Rabbi Eliezer is a carefully constructed shita that says, look, I agree with you that a third Re'iya is definitely going to be treated as lazachar olinet keva, and it's going to be mevatel shivas nekiim, and the zivas itself is going to be metame like the mayonais, and so on. But I don't agree that it's going to be mechayevim a carbon if it was caused by something else. And therefore, the third Re'iya is actually in need of a Bedika in order to see whether he's high of the carbon. Because only a third Re'iya that's not stimulated by by something else is going to be mechayev him a carbon. Okay, so we've got a lot of different dinim over here. The first Re'iya will not itself be affected in whether it was caused by anything else. But we need to know whether it was caused by anything else, because if it were caused, then it would not be able to be mitzaref to the third Re'iya. According to Rabbi Eliezer, the third Re'iya also will not be mitzaref in terms of a carbon if it was caused by something else. The second Re'iya will definitely not be mitzaref if it was caused by something else. And therefore, if the second Re'iya didn't pass the seven bedikas, and there was something that might have triggered it, then he's not even going to be metame shivas yamim, and he's not going to be metame mishkav u'moshav. He remains just with the first re'iyah, ketumas keri. Then if a day is skipped and he has another re'iyah, anyway, it's not mitzaref if you skip a day in between, according to Beis Hillel. So, no problemo. Those are our three different issues. Okay, one more Mishnah. Perek Beit Mishnah Gimel. So as we mentioned earlier, even though we haven't seen it in the actual Mishnah, Haroe Keri Eino Metami Beziva Be'et Le'et. So for 24 hours after ejaculation, there is essentially the same din as Choli, and there's no din of Zivas at all for such a person. And we check for it, but we check for it in the context of the item that we called weakness or illness, choli. So this is included in that din. Rabbi Yossi says, no, wait a minute. It's not 24 hours. It's any time during that day. But after that day, and however long that is, but after the night of that day, a re'iya of Zivas will be considered to be Zivas, even if it's within 24 hours of ejaculation. So it's a din in a yom and not in a din of me'es le'es. Now, what about a din? This is a fascinating halacha. Someone was roya keri as a goy, and then he became a ger. So normally he would have 24 hours after ejaculation, and it would not be metameh. But since he became a ger, he is considered to be a newborn. And therefore, as a newborn, he is metameh, like we said. Even a newborn can be metameh. Here's a real newborn that can be metameh. And therefore, he will become tameh bezivas, even though he had a re'iyas keri as a ger within the 24 hours. And because of that, it will be able to now be combined, and it'll be part of what makes him an actual zav, which would not have been true for a Yisrael, because then he would have not been defined as being capable of re'iyas. Here, this is his first re'iya. Masha Enken, if it would be a Jew, it would be a Ria that couldn't be able to be combined with the next Ria if it was within 24 hours of ejaculation. Now, what about where we have other dinim that are defined possibly by Yom or possibly by 24 hours? So we want to make this very clear. We just saw that there's a machlokas about, do we talk about 24 hours or do we talk about till the end of the day? This was Lagabi Re'iyas Keri and its effect on Zivas. There's a lot of sugyas like this, and this Mishnah wants to go through the cases where we understand the din of 24 hours or day. So let's say a woman who is Roe Dam. So you remember the Mishnah, the opening Mishnah in Nida, where we pasken Shaloka divrei zeh Shaloki divrei zeh, we don't paskin like Beit Shammai, we don't paskin like Beit Hillel, and we say a compromise. We have to worry that if a woman is roya dam, the time that she saw the actual blood discharging is not when she became Anita. She may have become Anita much earlier, except that the dam was held in her vagina because it just wasn't enough to leak out, and leaked out after some later time. In which case, if she had touched anything, she would have been metameit before, because we have to be choshesh that she was really Anita before. And we paskin that it's a maximum of 24 hours, me'etz la'es, which is memu'at if she had made a bedika in between, so that it's a maximum of either 24 hours or till the previous bedika that she made, whichever one is later. So when we say over there 24 hours, we mean 24 hours. We don't mean a day. The same thing is true of a mekashe, a woman who has labor pains. And these labor pains continue till the point where she has a child. What if they stopped? So if she has a child within 24 hours of having these labor pains, we view it as real labor, not as false labor. And that means that bleeding that accompanied these pains was part of the normal birth process and is not going to cause her to become a zava if it was shaloba et nida. That's part of leda. But if there was a 24-hour break after labor, and only after 24 hours did she deliver, then we view that labor as having been a false labor, and it is actually able to make her al yoledet bezav, because if she had seen 3 days of re'ez dam, and it was not productive in terms of delivery, then there too it means me'et le'et. It means exactly what it says, 24 hours. Now we've got another case, the case of yomo yomayim. Somebody hits his Eved Kanani. Now, if another person hits an Eved, remember, he's Chayev Misa. Someone who kills an Eved is considered to be a human being, killing of whom is Mechayev Misa like anybody else. There's a special halacha about one's own Eved. So over there, since the relationship often requires the application of some force to get an Eved to behave. So the Torah says that if in the event that he walked around, ach im yomo yomayim yamod, so then lo yukam ki kaspo, then there's no din of a chi of misa, but that's only for the owner, ki kaspo. That is yom o yomayim, we darshan a yom shehu ki yomayim. And that means it's 24 hours, which could stretch over two different days. There too, it's me'et le'et. There's another use of me'et le'et, and that is if a dog eats a human. So a kelev was ochal besar hamet. 3 days as measured me'et le'et is the amount of time that the digestive process of a dog, which is a slow process, it takes 3 times 24 hours, not 3 days, 3 times 24 hours to digest its meal completely. And therefore, if that dog drops dead at any time during the next 3 days, then if it's in an oyel, it's metame the oyel. Because obviously, as long as the dog is alive, any tuma that's inside of the dog is called tuma blu'a. And tuma blu'a is not metame. But once the dog dies, then the matter that is still considered to be besar hamet, that has not been digested, is going to be metame b'ayel. And over there, when we say me'et le'et, we mean me'et le'et. And it's dafka if it is me'et le'et, and not if it's on 3 separate days.